From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I promise not to kill you.
Do you? Do you want my love? I am Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, tonight is Monday, May 11th, 2009.
We're talking with such portent. This is show 039.
The problem is, this is a full disclosure moment. We had actually started once before.
Yeah, we had to abandon ship once.
So we're all like, okay, we can't say exactly what we said the first time.
Yep.
So anyway, let's get on with the
yeah, do your thing. On.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's the whole front part, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, do the big board thing.
Okay, big board. 160 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. That's the same exact number as last week.
That's a tad disappointing.
I know that there are some folks out there that are even lazier than us that want to join, and now's the perfect time. Not going to harp on it anymore.
Totally.
Whedon Watch and McCartney Watch, I don't know if it's worth keeping them anymore. I just don't know. We can discuss
that. I have no opinion on the matter.
Okay. Then for now, we're going to leave it behind.
Okay.
And go right to Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people discussing us. In this case, it's actually going to be part of the Fresh, which was we asked people as part of the Dunk-A-Cat segment about whether or not you're...
This was in the previous podcast, yes.
Oh, right. All the new people are like, what? What did I miss?
What's the Dunk-A-Cat?
But I guess we're kind of in the Fresh, since that's all of the old business, isn't
it?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, if you didn't hear last week's podcast, I was just musing on whether or not cats drown in toilets, because my wife was concerned about it.
Or at the very least, fall into toilets.
Right, right.
And but especially drown.
Right, because that's sort of the big worry is when you have, you know, children or pets or something that's alive that you're responsible for, that you worry for their safety,
right.
And some worry more than others. And turns out, yeah, cats fall into toilets all the time.
And occasionally drown.
And yeah, that's sad. Some of you folks, wow, I don't know how you live with those scars. Not that it was necessarily your fault in all cases.
Right, but scarring nonetheless.
Yeah, my heart really does go out to you, even for the ones that it was kind of funny, you know? Not that it's ever really funny, but
yeah,
sometimes it's funny. Anyway, so thanks. You know, my wife was totally right, and we're both going to redouble our efforts to close those toilet seats.
You know, by the way, I will throw in my 2 cents to the extent that I care about this issue whatsoever.
Sure.
Is you can do yourself. I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast because it is my favorite invention and thing that I have purchased probably in the last, how long have I lived in this house? 4 years.
Automatic cat dunker?
No. The slow closing toilet seat lid.
Ooh, is that like a Japanese thing?
No, you'd think it would be, but it's nothing particularly fancy. Basically, it's you buy a toilet seat and toilet seat lid for your toilet, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't know, there's a spring or there's cams and gears and pulleys and whatever is in the hingy part such that you physically pretty much can't slam the toilet seat down, because I know that was always the reason I never put the toilet seat down when I didn't, partly because I just sort of was never trained. I would put the seat down, but I wouldn't put the lid down.
Like, yeah, the negative reinforcement of having something go clank every
time. Yeah, exactly. Because we had old school toilets in the house I grew up in, and these things were like the Sherman tank.
Or they were actually from an old school.
They were. They were from the old heavy toilet school. But, I mean, these were particularly heavy, large, clangy toilet seats. And
lead.
Yeah, exactly.
Said Tredegar.
They're basically manhole covers with a hinge on one end. But ever since, you know, I live in a house with three girls, that being my wife and my two daughters. So the toilet seat issue is a big issue. Plus, my wife always, you know, for the feng shui, wants the toilet seat closed so our fortunes don't go running down the drain.
Well, wait, now, it's not necessarily going to help you with your feng shui if it doesn't close at the proper rate.
I don't know that rate is really a factor. I have not studied Far Eastern philosophy enough to know, but I'm going with it.
Now, is it automatic closing? Like,
no, it is not, because that's the other thing. Here is a thing that women do, he said, trying to sound provocative. if you've ever been to a house or lived in a house that had like the cushy seat and cover, such that you cannot hold the seat will not stay open on its own because the padding on the cover and the seat is too much that the seat won't stay above 90 degree or, you know, at or above 90 degrees and always falls down. So you're stuck, you know, using one hand to hold the seat, and that hampers you when you're doing your manly duties there.
So are you saying, you're blowing my mind here, if this is what
you're
saying.
I'm blowing your mind. It is a seat. It functions just like any other toilet seat, except...
I'm saying, what would blow my mind...
Oh, go ahead.
...is, are you saying that these women intentionally put those on seat covers?
No, I will tell you what...
That would be diabolical.
That would be diabolical. In fact, it's just something that doesn't occur to them because they never have to use the toilet standing up.
Well, now there's a hint for all you women out there that get annoyed with the men folk about the toilet seat, at least for your own house. Go ahead and put one of those covers on your toilet, and you'll never have to worry about it. It might get peed on every once in a while.
Yeah, that's the trick, is that because the guy is using one hand to hold up the toilet seat and is resentful for having to do so, he might not take quite so much care with his aim. Not necessarily intentionally.
No.
But, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, as far as I'm concerned with those seats. But, you know, to get back to it, to finish off, basically these seats, you know, you just tilt them slightly so they start to come down, and they very slowly put themselves down in place. There's no clanging. There's no muss, no fuss, no drips, no runs, no drips, no errors.
All right. This wasn't on the topic list, but I like where this is going.
Yeah. So let's keep on.
And my observation is at the top of this little segment, asking if it was a Japanese thing.
Yeah.
And as most of you probably know, and Paul, you certainly know, not because you were in Japan or anything, but just because you know, the Japanese have very advanced toilet technologies.
Yes.
Like, they trick out their toilets like we trick out Camaros.
Exactly.
And...
Or like recliners.
Yeah, like the ones that have the like the big couches with the cup holders and the stereo and the and fan the,
and the heat and the and the what's the word vibrating massage and
we can't even understand, we can't even fathom some of the things that they pack into their toilets because it doesn't translate, you know.
Yeah,
like their bodies and senses are so advanced to accept technology from a toilet that. It's sort of like, you know, a new cuisine that until your palate adjusts, you get nothing out of it.
Yeah, it's like if you took a caveman and tried to explain a nuclear power reactor to him.
So anyway, I'm a little puzzled given how much our society eats and how much time probably we spend on the toilet. And I really don't mean to be gross out toilet humor guy, you know. Yeah. I really am intellectually curious.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we as a nation, I gotta believe, have a pretty high toilet minute count.
Why haven't technological toilets caught on in this country?
It's a very good question.
I'm throwing it out there. I don't even have a theory right
now.
Nor
do I. I couldn't even float an answer by you. Because the other interesting thing is, if anything, and again, I know nothing about this, so my theories are coming. Whoop, here comes one out my ass. Mm-hmm. I would seem to me that, if anything, the Japanese are more... You know, we're a shame-filled society.
Right,
you know, yes. Much of our existence is based on or around shame, the avoidance of shame, and the apportioning of shame unto others.
Although,
but if
I would
anything,
say we
the
rank
Japanese
low.
Is if anything, the Japanese is even more shame based.
Yeah,
and yet they have these wonderful, luxurious toilets.
Maybe that's the trick of it. You know, if you're just sort of shamed, and I'd say as a society and culture, we're not very high on the scales like the British. You know, the humor of embarrassment is massive.
That's true.
But certainly it's not the type of thing you bring up in polite conversation, but we're comfortable enough. But if you go to an extreme where society is just totally wiggy about, you know, things like pubic hair and, you know, hygiene and being polite, it almost makes that activity safer, you know, that you could discuss it. I don't know. I don't know if they discuss their toilets or not.
I don't know. Maybe they I wonder if they show them off, like when they get a new one, you bring the neighbors around, like as if you had gotten a new car.
Yeah, I would.
Or a riding mower.
Well, I think, why don't we
That to me is maybe the quintessential American product. If they invented a riding mower that also functioned as a toilet,
that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Get to work, John Deere and Elger.
All right. We've clearly been in the fresh for a good, oh my gosh, the 10-minute mark was 30 seconds ago.
A minute and some time ago.
So we're in the fresh.
Yep.
But let's go ahead and I'm going to run down the topic list I have.
Okay.
Which we can discuss or not. Kind of ironic, the first one I have written down. Mystery turd. I swear this was not a setup for that one. Mrs. Cato loves her budgie, carried over from last week. Where it's at. The prostate pals. Molting dirty bird. And Mongol horde.
Wow. You know, I once again have to say I can't form an opinion on any of them. I'm going to let it be Storm's choice.
You know, I'm not going to go to mystery turd because we just did the whole toilet thing and we've done that enough. I'm going with molting dirty bird. And the dirty bird in this stretched metaphor is L.A., Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
And I'm calling it a dirty bird because, you know, it's sort of got the grimy air and just sort of this, you know, could be this beautiful soaring thing, but it's just sort of like a dirty bird. It's
right.
It's a little unseemly at times.
There's a bit of a sheen of something.
Yeah, a patina of something. And
patina of something is the front runner for the name of this podcast, I think.
And the molting is actually a positive thing. I mean, a molting bird and a molting dirty bird are not a pretty thing to look at. But in the molting process, it becomes something else, you know, like the little cocoon guy that becomes, you know, the thing that it becomes. And L.A. for me is that molting dirty bird. And let me explain. Let me explain.
Please.
So growing up, my grandmother lived in L.A. My mom is from L.A. And I would go there every couple of years to visit. And I loved it because when you're a little kid and you go to L.A., you go to Universal Studios and you get to see Cylons and you go to the beach.
There's palm trees.
Yeah, that was exciting. You saw all these things that you saw on TV and all these places. Suddenly, there they are.
Yeah.
So it was great. And then didn't go for a long time. And then I guess it was when we, with Da Vinci's Notebook, was probably the next time that I went.
Wow.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a good probably 10-year gap. And suddenly it was like, you know, you were behind the scenes at Disney World. You could see you were no longer just seeing all those cool things like you did when you were a kid. You're also seeing these, you know, the streets and the valley that just stretch on forever. And just sort of the disjointedness just geographically of it. As beautiful as so much of the area is. And I sort of went poo-poo on it, you know.
Not literally.
Well,
he said staying with
time.
The theme.
Yeah, I was trying to get away from that.
Yeah, but, well, you shouldn't have said poo-poo.
I know, that's not what Mystery Turd was about, by the way. anyway, so...
So you were down on L.A.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly I've always loved New York. People always have to compare the two. But we're not going to do that right now.
Right.
And I'd say I'm starting to turn a corner on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see, because as an aside, we're about to head out on our next trip, and L.A. is one of the stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually very excited about going to L.A.
Hmm.
I've always liked the food there. You know, it's always important.
Yeah.
But it seems like we are going not just to the city or to do a gig, but there are a lot of friends that we have now that we're either going to see or at least almost see. And I think that's the key to L.A., as well as a number of other places, that to have folks there that give it context, and it's no longer a sort of empty place.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it will be again, you know.
Right.
When I land on Skid Row. But until then, I think the bird is molting.
Uh-huh. Now, what type of bird is L.A.? That's my next question.
In the past, well, when I was a kid, it was like a cuckoo mama Zuzu bird with iridescent wings and a beak that spits chocolate milk, you know? It was
awesome.
I like
that image. I wish we had some artsy fans that could draw up that image.
If only we knew a guy named Lenny who had a site called Monsters by Mail. Anyway.
Singular, Monster by Mail.
Oh, right. Well, he'll draw you more than one.
But we don't know him anyway, so.
We don't know him. We don't know him. Anyway, that's what it was when I was a kid. And then I would say when I was more down on it, it was like a starling, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a greasy
Hello,
little...
Clarice.
That's what it was. And now that it's molting, I mean, if it was really molting, it would still be a starling. But, you know, this is the world of imagination. So I'm going to go with... gosh. Well, parts of it are certainly a peacock.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, because of NBC, but just right. that strutting, preening thing.
Yeah. The pretty colors.
Parts of it are a hawk that you have a lot of fast dealing and eating at dead flesh.
And predatory behavior.
What do you think? Any birds pop to mind for you?
Let's call it a hawk cock.
A hawk cock. I like that.
Like a hawk, like whatever bird it is, it's wearing a nice suit.
Yeah,
like somehow there's a suit jacket on the bird, but it doesn't look odd. It looks kind of cool.
Right, and he's got sort of a not quite haughty look on his face.
Yeah, just sort of a
confident.
He's not smug, he's just confident, exactly.
Yeah. But, well, on the verge of smug. On the verge of smug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's... what I have to say about that.
I think we've exhausted that topic pretty well.
Okay, I got to go to Mystery Turd.
All right, give us the Mystery Turd.
All right, Mystery Turd, maybe my cat Cougar heard the discussion about cats falling into toilets.
Uh-huh.
And so I began making a great effort to close the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
We found a little round desiccated cat turd right beside the toilet. And it was not, like, we do keep the litter box by one of the toilets. It was not that toilet.
Oh, really? It was an entirely different toilet.
Yeah. And it was like not anywhere else in the house. It's never happened before. But yet, here was this little grape-sized...
Little gift.
Gift. And... Well, I'm assuming it was Cougar and not Reinhold, but it very well could have been Reinhold. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, you know...
What goes through a cat's mind to do that?
Yeah, do cats just like to fuck with you?
I think your cat's fucking with you.
Or is he becoming incontinent?
Or maybe he's training you.
You think? To do what?
I don't know exactly, but you're going to have to continue to try things Pavlovian-like until it seems to work.
Or is this like the first step of this great Rube Goldberg scheme that my cat has?
A great turd-based machine that's going to wind up with a saucer of milk on the kitchen floor for him.
All right, I'm scared now. Okay, well, then that happened.
Yeah, so that happened.
Oh, let's
review. what a Freudian podcast this has been.
All right, here are the remaining subjects on the tablet for the evening to review.
Mm-hmm.
Mongol horde, where it's at, Mrs. Cato loves her budgie, and the prostate pals.
Well, if we went the prostate pals, that would continue right on in with the theme.
Now, is that, do you want to, I mean, we're already there.
Yeah, let's continue on for the 9 people still listening at this point.
Well, I don't think we're being gross, you know.
I suppose not.
We're handling it in a more intellectual way.
Because we're mature.
Except for maybe the cat turd part.
Yeah.
Okay. And this will really, prostate, you know, it's an evocative word. It just gets us into the subject. So I've noticed there have always been drug commercials, you know, mm-hmm. or medical products. And often it's two people talking, the classic one, you know, the mother and daughter, you know, the not so fresh thing. That's sort of the classic one.
Right.
I've noticed a pattern, and maybe they've always existed, and it's only now I'm noticing them. But like for the urinary tract things, where it's men's problems,
right?
And you see this group of between 4 and 7 guys who are all of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And they all look, you know, fairly fit. Some are maybe a little chunky, and they represent the entire spectrum of, you know, the entire racial gamut. And they're just palling around having the best time for these commercials.
Right, as if they were in a Mountain Dew commercial for older white or older mixed race men.
Right, so instead of like jumping from a rope swing into a mountain stream, or, you know, hitting the skateboards, they're going to see a ball game.
Yeah,
or
they're on the links.
Yeah, they're piling into the convertible and laughing.
Gonna go get some steak.
And I just think the psychology of that is brilliant, you know, mm-hmm. that you've taken this thing that people are afraid to talk about, and you say, okay, here are these guys, you want to be these guys' buddies, you know?
Right.
And if these guys can ask their doctor about this drug, buy gum, so can you.
Did you actually use the phrase "buy gum"?
I did.
What are you, like an 1840s prospector?
Oh, don't make me use that voice. Don't
no, I won't. Okay, I'll back away from that.
Oh, that reminds me of another. I guess it's someone of the sleep pills that's out now. Another one of the most brilliant things I've seen in my life in my mm-hmm. mind at this moment, and it's this guy, he pops up on the screen and he says, I'm doing my own sleep study. And then it's just a regular drug commercial where they compare one drug to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But by putting that little tag on at the beginning, this, you know, engaging, smiling, happy guy who's clearly not a scientist or a doctor, just a mm-hmm. dude, mm-hmm. you're drawn into it to the point where you would talk about it on your podcast.
and in that way, they've won.
So, yeah, and if there's anybody out there who does casting for pharmaceutical commercials, I want that to be, like, our first interview, you know?
Oh, right, our first, when we bring somebody in?
Yeah, or go to them, you know.
I gotcha.
But I think okay. that would be well, very interesting to
let
pick
the word
that
go forth.
Brain.
We need pharmaceutical commercial casting people. Maybe we'll find them in L.A., the great molting bird.
And I think that brings it around pretty good.
Sure. You like how I wrapped it up neatly in a little bow like that? I couldn't bring it all the way back around to poop, though, unfortunately.
Oh, just did.
Well, that kind of, not really.
Nah.
Doesn't work. Anyway, let's see. Where will we be? Here is where we will be. Wednesday, May 13th, we're at the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas with Jonathan Colton. Thursday, the 14th, we're at the Belly Up Tavern in, what is it, Solana Beach?
Yeah.
I got that right. Sorry, just the calendar I have here, I just wrote San Diego, and I know that's wrong. So, Solana Beach, California.
Yeah, Greater San Diego area.
Greater San Diego area. On Friday the 15th, we are doing a cool thing, which we can tell you about next week. We will have told people about it by the next podcast, but we can't yet because we're cock teases. Then Sunday, the 17th, we are at Largo in Los Angeles once again with Jonathan Colton. That show is pretty close to sold out. On Thursday, the 21st, we were at the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, Illinois with Dan St. Paul. And on Saturday, the 23rd, we are at in Galesburg, Illinois at the... I can't remember the name of the theater, and I didn't write it on here.
The Galesburg Place.
The Galesburg Theater Place with us with Dan St. Paul. And then on, let's see, Saturday, May 30th, we're going to be at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia.
Go to paulinstorm.com to get all of the real details. And you can also sign up for the Brigade of Minions, become one of the Disciples of Lore. And I'm Paul. No, I'm
no, you're
Storm.
Not.
I'm Storm.
No, you are Storm. I am Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Be-do-do-do, be-do-do-do.
Go do things.
My life is so sweet with my new toilet seat. Cha-cha-cha!